Hello and welcome to Great British Show and Be Unpicked with me, Rob.
I'm me, Sean.
And we're on Fashion Icons Week. Before we start, as always, we've got a disclaimer that we are not associated with the Great British Sewing Bee, with Love Production or with the BBC. This is just a podcast from a couple of friends that like to talk about the show. So, Fashion Icons Week, what did you think, Sean?
This is one of those weeks I really, really enjoy. It gives the sewers a bit of creative freedom. Really, I quite like this one because, I mean, I've always enjoyed fashion icons. They're kind of the reasons why I've really liked sewing. And yeah, it's quite exciting getting to see like what people come up with.
Have you got any favourite fashion icons or fashion houses that you particularly like?
I have got a fashion icon that I absolutely adore, but I would look absolutely stupid trying to wear any similar garments to what they used to wear, and that's Mae West.
Okay.
I just love her aesthetic. I think her aesthetic was just absolutely phenomenal. That vintage glamour, just lover.
I was trying to think, and in recent years I kind of like people who are a bit experimental with their fashion, like and stuff, but also people from back in the days were like Grace Jones did some amazing outfits she wore.
Yeah.
And then recently people like Harry Styles, Lil Nas X, Timothy Chalamet. If you're going to be famous, why not have fun with fashion?
Exactly. It's like Marlene Dietrich back in the day when she used to wear suits. It's just like, oh, yes. Like that kind of, I'm going to break the rules of social norms in clothing. I just absolutely adore.
Definitely. I think also, I like really fun fashion as well. So I was thinking about Jeremy Scott, the stuff that he did for Moschino, however you want to say it, where he really played with crazy ideas, and he did a whole range which is based around fast food and just really mad stuff like that. Just because, why not have fun with fashion? Don't be too serious.
Well, definitely, and I'm so glad that you attempted to say that brand name because I always get it wrong. And at one point, I had to turn around to a friend and go, that one that looks like mosquito. Because every time I pronounce it, someone tells me I'm wrong. So it looks like mosquito. Hopefully you understand what I'm talking about. Be fun with it. Be creative. This is why like I'm really trying my hardest this summer to work on my own wardrobe. I really want to create some fun garments to wear, some smart ones as well, but some fun ones to wear to uni, because I would quite like to have a wardrobe that is at least 50% stuff that I've made myself.
Definitely. I think I've been moving towards that for the last few years, especially over lockdown, where I was doing a lot more sewing. And I'm mostly making all of our own clothes, apart from, I don't bother with t-shirts and underwear, but everything else I'll give a go.
That's fair enough. Well, you do have a very good friend who does make underwear, so all we have to do is pop him a message and I'm sure he might be able to hook you up with some stuff.
I have to remember that. Right, we should get on with the actual podcast now. So, as always, we are starting with the pattern challenge, where our sewing bees had to create an Audrey Hepburn-inspired dress in 4 hours. They were told to use a luxury fabric. The dress included a hidden invisible zip down the side, and it had a crescent back, which had to be done through the burrito method, where it's kind of like bagging out. It's something that I do a lot with shirts, where you sew together in the shirt, you sew together the yoke section, and you have the kind of front and back panels inside that, and then you pull it out of the side. So you kind of roll up like a burrito and then you pull the insides out, one of the open gaps, and then all your raw edges are trapped inside. But I've not seen it done on a dress before, so I thought that was quite interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I do this a lot when I'm making pants and stuff with gussets, but I have also been trying to make my own shirts, and I think I've actually got a video, so I will try post it on the social if I can find it. But me making a shirt for the second time, trying to be a bit more serious making this one, because the last one I didn't take quite as seriously. But I actually had a very successful burrito method moment. So if I can find the video, I will share it for those who aren't quite sure what that method looks like. But yeah, it is very good. It helps to hide any of your raw edges and just gives quite a nice finish.
Yeah, I think it is really nice to have a shirt done like that and not have to have like be able to see the raw edges and stuff inside. What did you think about this challenge?
My first thought was, of course they did. You know what this really reminds me of was a couple of seasons ago when they were like, oh, we want you to make Marilyn Monroe's famous air duct vent dress thing, the one that like she holds down and it's got like a million and one pleats in it and it's made out of a crimped chiffon, whatever it was. But yeah, it was one of those I thought, of course they were. Of course they're going to pick a really challenging dress that's so iconic, but there's a reason why it's so iconic was because it's so difficult to make. But oh my God, what a dress to pick. Like, it is beautiful. And I love the fact that there were so many technical bits to it. And obviously, we all know that I was excited to see how Asma did on this.
Yeah, well, we'll get on to that in a second. I also thought it was quite a tricky challenge for 4 hours. The dress itself doesn't have a huge amount of pieces, but there is like fiddly bits with doing the darts on the bodice section and then doing the lining and sewing the lining in at the waist. I probably wouldn't have been bothered. Like, I don't think I'd have had time to do that. So there was quite a few difficult elements, and also invisible zips. I've done about 6, but every time I do one, they still confuse me.
Last time I attempted an invisible zip, I managed to sew the zip teeth shut.
Oof.
So yeah, I avoid them. And actually, I've got a dress that my sister asked me to repair, and I was like, yeah, of course I can replace the zip. She hands me the dress and it's an invisible zip, isn't it? Ooh. I might post it to you.
Oh, well, the last couple I did were a bit of a mess. That's something I definitely need to practice on. So I think
at least yours were probably functional. Mine just became a decorative feature that was completely unusable.
Yeah, they're not fun to do, but when you get them right, it's amazing. But doing it under time pressure with a camera pointed at you, probably not the most fun thing to do.
No, I can't imagine it was.
So let's go through all of them and let's go from bottom up. So in 5th place, we had Lauren, who had used a black peach skin. I don't know. Do you think it was like a peach skin satin or something?
I don't know. It was really, really hard to tell. Don't get me wrong. I like peach skin, but it's not the first thing that I automatically associate with glamour.
No.
I was associate that kind of peach skin textile with more comfort than glamour. So I was a little bit like, oh, really? Is that the choice you're going for? I kind of got it that, like, because it's matte, it's less likely going to show up any flaws, because as we all know, shiny fabric shows up every single issue. It's been, that lesson has been learned a lot on Sewing Bee over the years, that the shinier the fabric, the more obvious your mistakes are. But yeah, it was, I thought it was kind of sensible, but I didn't really get glamour from it, which I was quite gutted with, because I always imagine Lauren as being really ultra glam.
Yeah, it did seem a little bit of a strange choice to me. And the dress itself, there were some issues here. I think Lauren started and was not having a good day. The hem wasn't finished. The zip was just completely buggered. The lining wasn't attached. I think she just was having a real issue, and that zip really got her stuck, and then I think she lost loads of time, so then trying to catch up, she just never really managed to catch up.
Yeah.
It was a shame, because that would have looked really fantastic. Maybe not in the peach skin, maybe in like a black satin or something.
Yeah, it's, I think had it been finished, that actually the overall aesthetic actually looked really beautiful. Even though it probably wasn't the first choice of fabric I would have thought of, actually, I think she could have really proven me wrong with that whole kind of glamour issue. Sorry, I've completely lost my words there. I was trying to think of a word. I was like, it's not working. Yeah, I think it could have, because it did start to remind me a little bit of, and I cannot remember the year she did this, but Lady Gaga wore a suede dress, and suede is also not one of those those textiles that I automatically think of as glamorous, but actually the overall look of the dress was super glamorous. So I thought, maybe, actually I think she wore a suede version of this dress, didn't she? Why do I have a feeling, I'm going to have to look this up now, why do I have a feeling like she was actually wearing, because I'm pretty sure she wore the same necklace Audrey Hepburn wore. She got to borrow it for a press thing for a movie or something. I've completely lost track. Anyway, I think actually it could have looked really glamorous. It just wasn't finished. And I don't think that helped. And it's a shame, because I really like Lauren, and it always breaks my heart when there's one that I'm really rooting for starts to do quite badly. And this just wasn't a good start to the day for her.
No, it wasn't up to her usual excellent standards for sewing. So that was Lauren. And in fourth place, we had Tony, who had used a white floral satin. He had chosen quite good placements for the floral patterns. It had quite a large pattern on it, which could kind of look a little bit like watercolor flowers. He had used the same fabric to create the lining. I think that is quite often a dangerous tactic. I know that if it works, it's fantastic, because if any of the lining is poking out, it doesn't matter, because it's the same fabric and it's more difficult to tell. However, when you've got a half-constructed garment like a dress or a jacket or something, and you've got all the pieces and they're semi-connected and you're trying to work out what's the outer and what's the lining, when they're the same fabric, it can be so easy to confuse them and get them mixed up. And that's what Tony did on his crescent section. I think the lining section, which had the understitching on, he's put on the outside rather than on the inside. Yeah.
That went from being understitching to top stitching. it's always a risky move. And I get what he was trying to do, because it minimalized the risk of, if there was a bit of lining poking out, it wasn't going to be as obvious. But it is one of those, unless I've done it before, and what I've done is I've got like washi tape, and I've like done like a little kind of tab of washi tape on the side of the fabric that's supposed to be the lining, So it's a bit more obvious, because when you're kind of panicking and you're trying to assemble everything together, having something there that kind of reminds you, okay, that is the lining part, then I'm like, okay, that's fine. Now I know what side that's supposed to go to. But yeah, it was a risk. It was a clever risk. It could have worked out in his favor, but sadly it didn't. And that was a shame, because actually it was clever. I didn't really like the fabric that much, but I liked his thinking behind it.
Yeah, that's a good tip, actually, Sean, you just gave. And I did something really similar recently where I was working on something which was navy. And what I did is I used white chalk, and on the inner sections, I put a big X so I could always tell what was nice. The inside and what was the outside. And I thought, that'll just brush off or wash off that time.
See, I tried post-it notes, but they don't stay stuck forever. Washi tape seems to be a bit more effective, and it's not as harsh as masking tape, which I find masking tape sticks to fabric a lot better than regular tape.
Mm.
Which is bizarre, seeing as masking tape is supposed to be the thing that peels off easier.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, maybe it was just the brands I was using.
I quite like the fabric choice. It was giving me very day glamour. She's going to the races. She's got an appointment at Buckingham Palace for, afternoon tea. It was very... very summer party kind of glamour, not evening glamour, I thought. But I really liked the look of it. It was a shame that there was just a few little issues with it.
Yeah, I think that's why I didn't really like it. I was kind of thinking red carpet glamour. When I'm thinking of this dress, I'm not really thinking of Ascot day out at the races. This dress always just, I instantly think of like red carpet, little black dress, sort of glamour. But yeah, it was an all right fabric. It wasn't really my favorite, but he did all right. He didn't do too bad. He did a pretty good job getting it all assembled.
Yeah, and I think now we're down to five people and the standard is so high that everyone was doing really well.
Mm-hmm.
So judges are really, they're kind of like pulling apart those seams and looking at exactly what's going on. So I think especially these top four, they were, I think, of similar standard. I think maybe Asma is an exception. I think,
yeah,
a similar standard.
Asma's in her own competition, mate.
She is. So moving on to third place, we had Vicky, who had used an orange and pink abstract floral fabric. It looked like a viscose to me. I think I've seen that for sale before. So I might be wrong, but I'm sure it's a viscose blend. She had also done the same as Tony and used the same fabric as the lining, which seemed to work for her. It had a bit of a wobbly waist seam on it, and she didn't sew down the lining fully. But I thought it looked like a great, again, I think more of a summer dress. It looked like a beautiful dress, though.
Yeah, it was definitely giving me similar vibes to Tony's of kind of day out of the races, private school picnic. It wasn't giving me the red carpet glamour that I always associate this dress with. But yeah, she did an all right job. That waistline was very wobbly, but I imagine that fabric is quite delicate, and the more you handle it, the more it kind of warps out of shape. I imagine this is definitely one of those challenges that the least you move the fabric, the better.
Yeah, I did notice, actually, on that crescent section, everybody's, including Asma's, did look a little bit warped.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling that when you're doing the Brito method with it and you're pulling everything out of that crescent shape, it would be incredibly difficult, especially when you're in a rush, not to slightly warp that.
Yeah, a 100%.
So I think if you were doing this pattern at home, I think that's the stage when you need to be really careful, because you want it to be sat flat on the body, and I don't think anyone's was fully sat flat on the body.
No one's was sat. Well, shall we call it the don't touch burrito method? You just sew it together and hope at some point they'll eventually just fold out the right way.
You've got to be careful with that. Right, so that was Vicky in third place. Now, second place went to Mia. She had used a beautiful pale kind of duck egg, satin, bluey green pastel fabric, which I just thought was beautiful. It was a very well-sewn dress. There were, again, just a couple of very slight issues. The lining not being fully attached, I think, just because she ran out of time. And I think there was the waist seam was just slightly off, I think, on one side.
But that invisible zip was beautifully sewn in.
Yeah, I mean,
that was really, really well done. And it really was. I think if it was just like those small little issues where the waist seam didn't quite meet up, the crescent on the back was a little bit more warped. I think had she just paid a little bit more attention to those details, she probably could have taken first place on this one, because that was beautiful.
Yeah, it was a really gorgeous dress.
Like, stunning colour, really well put together. Like, she did so incredibly well on this. So I think it was just a bit of a shame that there were those little issues. But like we said, we're down to the top five now. They are going to nitpick at everything.
Yeah, definitely. It's got to the stage now where, you know, it's they're getting their magnifying glasses out and they're looking at whether the stitching's wobbling and stuff.
I'm just waiting for a day that, like, Esme spots a loose thread, pulls on it, and an entire garment just falls apart.
That would be amazing.
It would be. I think if that was me, I would have cried my absolute eyes out. But yeah, I'm just waiting for that day that Esme just pulls on a thread and this whole dress just falls apart.
She's always tugging on buttons and zips and stuff like
that. Yeah. Yeah, and poppers. Like, she likes to make sure that the poppers are stuck on tight. Like, God, that week that they did the toddler's romper and she was practically ripping everyone's apart. So yeah, I'm surprised she hasn't started pulling at seams yet.
Right, now on to first place was Asma, who had used a royal blue satin. She had matched it with like a matte lining, which was a really amazing color match. The dress itself was spectacularly sewn. I don't know how she managed to be so precise and so quick that she managed to get all of the stages done, including sewing in the lining. And the only issue, and I mean, they were really trying to find fault here, was that the side seam was slightly bouncy and could have done with a little bit more pressing.
It was phenomenal. Like, I know that's really the only word I use to describe Asma sewing, but bloody hell, it is just beautiful. Like, she did so well. And yeah, I think she did incredibly well getting all of that done in that short space of time. Like, seriously, this woman is absolutely amazing. I want to have sewing lessons with Asma. I really want to just one day sit there, have a couple of coffees with her, pick her brain about sewing, and have a day and just learn from Asma, because her sewing is beautiful. Yeah, like, literally, like, their judges were trying to find little faults, and it was a slightly bouncy seam up the sides, the crescent was slightly warped, but you know what, that was stunning.
Yeah, it was an absolutely amazing garment. I don't really have any other words to be
honest. No. And apparently I don't either. Phenomenal, stunning and beautiful. The only things I ever used to describe Asma sewing, really.
So that was the pattern challenge. And then our sewing bees moved on to transformation challenge, where they had to create a high fashion outfit using up to 2 shower curtains. It was based on Esme's brand Swanky Mode, where they created outfits out of vintage shower curtains. And the judges wanted the contestants to play with the idea of transparency and the structural elements of the shower curtains, which are, I would imagine, not easy to sew.
No.
What did you think of this as a challenge?
This actually reminded me of something I did. So between 2010 and 2011, I did a foundation art course thing. Not really sure what I got out of it at the end. But that's where I picked up sewing again. And we had to do a final exhibition to display work. And I had this whole concept of like airing your dirty laundry. But I made like a washing line and literally just made like lingerie out of like domestic garment, domestic fabrics. So I actually did a corset and pants out of a see-through PVC tablecloth.
Wow.
So, oh my God, it was the worst thing I've ever made in my life, and it made me cry because it was horrible. And the sewing machine I had, I'm pretty sure used to be a machine gun. It was violent, that sewing machine. But the moment I saw this, it just gave me flashbacks of that. And I was like, you know what? I would have loved the opportunity to recreate that corset and make it better.
Well, you know, you could set yourself a little challenge.
Yeah, I don't think I would ever put my new sewing machine through having to sew PVC tablecloths ever again. That was horrible.
You could do it in something that's sheer and softer, like organza or something.
I'll have a think about it.
I think this was quite a tricky challenge. Working with that material isn't easy, and yeah, it can be, especially when you've got multiple layers for that sewing machine to go through. It's quite difficult, I think.
Yeah, definitely. But can I say, I love this challenge because it gave us the moment where Patrick said one of my favourite things ever. And I'm not going to lie, it did make me blush a little bit. But when Patrick was talking about waterproof panties and them being naughty, I was sat there going, oh my God, I cannot believe we have had this moment on Sewing Bee. It has turned smutty. yes, I'm not going to lie, it did actually make me blush a little bit. And I know quite a few friends who have the hots for Patrick. And I can imagine Fove would have really have enjoyed that moment. As we all know, she had a bit of a crush on Patrick. So I imagine she's really kicking herself for not being on that challenge. But yes, it made me giggle. It really made me giggle. Like, yeah, this has to be my favorite Sewing Bee moment of all time.
There were a few cheeky little moments actually this episode that made me laugh. I think that in a later challenge as well, there was a bit where Sarah Pascoe spotted a bird on a lining, and it was a particular type of bird.
Oh, yes.
And said there was a cockatoo staring at her.
yes, that's God, Sewing Bee has turned so smutty. What has happened?
I also like the bit where Sarah was doing a little VT bit where she was saying, oh, my coffee's cold, get me Givenchy, and then she like, or Valentino.
Versace.
Yeah, Versace. And then she threw the phone, and I think she almost hit the cameraman, and I could see Esme's face, and it really tickled her, and that made me crack up.
Of one of those, that was a bit dangerous. I love it, but next time maybe not aim at a cameraman. Yeah, what has happened to them on this episode? Like, what was in the water? Maybe it was because Sarah's dog was there. maybe they all just got a little bit hyper because there was a dog on set.
Yes, like when there was a dog on the field at school when you were in, yeah. in school.
Yeah.
Right, so let's get talking about these. Let's start with Tony, who had produced a poncho kind of dress with hood. Underneath that, he had an orange harness top and a green skirt. Now, the harness top, he said, was covering modesty, but it was really not covering very much modesty at all. I'm not sure how a real woman would have stayed in that harness for more than a split second. I appreciated the ideas that went into Tony's look, and it was giving me very Fifth Element vibes.
Oh, hell yes. I got Fifth Element vibes from this. I'm so glad you got those same vibes from it.
Did you like Tony's outfit?
No. I completely agree with you on the fact that that harness was not going to do anything unless that person had a lot of dress tape on. That was not going to stay in place for very long. All it would take would be a sneeze, a cough, a little giggle, needing to run somewhere, or just generally moving. That harness would have fallen out of place. Yeah, it wasn't my favorite. It felt very much like a, oh, here's a challenge and I'm having a panic. Yeah, it wasn't my favorite, but I definitely got the Fifth Element vibes from it. That's what I've really got to say on it. I didn't really like it, but it's sort of one of those challenges. It's gonna, some people are really gonna rise to the top on it and other people are gonna panic. And I think Tony had a bit of the panic. I mean, I love the colors. I love that neon green. I love the neon orange. And I love the fact that he put the zip in to match it. I didn't really get the jacket. And there was that bit that was kind of sticking out the back. And I know it was supposed to be a hood, but it kind of looked like a shark's fin. And I don't know, I've got it on my screen right now. From a distance, it looks like bubble wrap.
Okay.
I can't get that out of my head. And I completely agree with Patrick that I just felt like the chain was an unnecessary feature.
Okay. Yeah, I think if they'd done this week in an earlier week, Tony, I think it was fine. And I think Tony would have been like mid-table, but because now there's only five of them, that's why Tony ended up being on the bottom.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Right. Let's move to fourth place. So we have Asma, who had produced a pink and blue bikini set with kind of like a puffy skirt. And now Esme was saying, she was saying Bolero. No, she was saying Bolero.
Oh, yes, that brings back the microwave, microwave, Bolero, 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 Bolero. That whole debate. Yeah, no, it was Asma that kept saying Bolero, and Esme and Patrick kept saying Bolero. And it was one of those where I was like, oh, God, it's back again, that bloody word. Literally just the moment they started saying it, I was like, oh God, not again, not this word. I'm gonna ban the word Bolero from, or Bolero, whatever it is, from Sewing Bee from now on. No one's allowed to make them anymore.
I thought it was a cute look. Again, I think because there's only five of them now, they're being really nitpicky, but I liked it. I thought it was cute. I think that's about that zip that she used was amazing. I want to get one of those zips.
That was a beautiful zip, and I really loved, I mean, obviously I'm very biased. I sew underwear. It's sort of the thing that kind of kept me in sewing. So anyone who's going to make a cheeky waterproof underwear set and make Patrick say that on national TV is always going to be my favourite. I really like this because I think she really thought about it and played with something that most people probably would have avoided. And especially as it's not stretch, I think she was very, very clever in putting the tie sides in, creating that bikini look. I thought this was genius. I thought this was really, really incredible. And it looked beautiful. Like, if you had shown me that someone wearing that garment, I would not automatically get, oh yeah, but they only made it out of shower curtains. Like, she really transformed those fabrics.
Yeah, I was a little surprised that she came in fourth place, to be honest.
Yeah, that did disappoint me. That very much disappointed me.
Right. Third place, we had Vicky, who had used a yellow shower curtain to make a dress which had a V detail at the front and at the back, which was done by pleating the shower curtain. She'd added frills at the side, which Esme wasn't a massive fan of. I thought the dress had a big impact. I thought it really, like, was quite dramatic. It probably could have done with some kind of strap going across just to make sure that those deep V's didn't fall off the shoulder. But I thought she did quite well.
I thought this was really, really beautiful, especially as Vicky's always struggled a little bit on transformations. Like, it was always like, she did say she's not a spontaneous sewer. I actually really liked it. And you know what? It was giving me Florence and the Machines vibes.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Like, I think it was that kind of ruffle on the side. I was kind of getting Beyonce meets Florence. And I actually really liked this. I thought it was really, I mean, I'm also biased because it's yellow and yellow is my favorite color. But yeah, I actually thought she did a really good job. Just structurally, it wasn't going to stay in place. And I suppose now we've reached that point, the judges are kind of like, we don't just want you to make a garment. We also have to be able to see that people would wear it. Yeah, I kind of get the feeling that they want to see something that isn't just pinned on a mannequin, but could actually be taken off and worn. And maybe that's why she kind of didn't score as high as she did.
I think with a little bit more time, though, I think that issue she could have probably sorted out quite easily, couldn't she?
Oh, definitely.
But yeah, it's I think well done, Vicky. I agree with you. I think in past weeks, she has had moments where she's kind of really struggled on the technical just to kind of come up with something that is dramatic and eye-catching. And I think this was. So in second place, we have Lauren, who had used one shower curtain, which was a completely see-through shower curtain. And she had, to me, it looked a little bit like a 1950s inspired vintage halter neck dress, the type that you see girls going like kind of almost swing dancing and rockabilly style dress. But it was completely see-through and it had a really great fit. I thought this was an absolute genius idea. And really super high fashion and something that you could definitely see on catwalks.
And also really brave for only sticking to one piece of textile. Like, when everyone else had the opportunity to use extra, the fact that she stuck to one was really, really brave. And yeah, I really, really like this. It had that lovely, cheeky vibe that I think Esme was really looking for. She did really well. I mean, this literally just reminded me of that corset that I made at secondary school, at college. Like, it was just fun, it was cheeky. I really enjoyed it. I thought she did a fantastic job at this.
Yeah, well done, Lauren. I mean, that was not, it was not an easy thing to do, but also she had no place to hide because it's completely see-through. So yeah. you can see all the internal workings and how she constructed it. You can see every scene. So amazingly done, Lauren. Like, that's just genius, absolute genius.
She did so well.
Then in first place, we had Mia, who had created a holographic cocktail dress, which she'd used two different curtains, both with a holographic print on them. She'd used very thin diamante straps, which crossed over at the back, and she'd managed to create a structural volume with kind of pleatings and ruffles of the shower curtains, which will, because they don't drape like real fabric does, they will kind of protrude out and create interesting shapes. And I thought it was a really beautiful dress. I could see somebody almost performing in this, you know, Katy Perry or someone like that, having this kind of dress and doing a concert or something in it. I thought it was a really beautiful dress. What did you think of Mia's dress?
It was really, really cute. And I loved the fact that, and it might have just been from the way the cameras were filming it, but there was a bit of a holographic vibe to the plainer shower curtain she used. It was very cute. I'm not going to lie. I feel like Asma should have been in first place for this. But not that I'm biased or anything, but I genuinely, it was very, very cute, very well constructed. And she really played with that textile really, really well. And I did love that holographic look to it. Yeah, she did a good job. It was really well done.
Yeah, I mean, it was super cute. I think Mia's got a really good taste level. I think she's got a really good taste level when she's selecting things. Like, using that really thin diamante trim for the straps, I would have never thought of that, but it looked so good with that dress. I think she's got a really good eye for those kind of details. So,
100%.
Yeah, that made me really happy. That was the transformation challenge. And finally, we have the made to measure, which was a men's smoking jacket inspired by a fashion icon. They had 5 hours. They were allowed to cut most of the pieces. Now, I thought that was kind of interesting, and I feel like this is the first challenge where they've been allowed to cut the pieces before the challenge starts.
I think there have been other challenges where they've been allowed to do this on other seasons. I just don't think they've been as open about it, but I can understand why, because after making the suit for my friend's wedding, there is so much you need to cut out and it is so time consuming. So I actually think it would have only have been fair to let them cut the pieces out in advance, because they would have had to have had longer on the challenge.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think there's usually, it's the final, where in the final made to measure, I think they normally are allowed to cut pieces before, because I remember from at least one, if not two, series where they've said, oh, the sewing bees have previously cut their pieces. So I thought that was kind of interesting. But also, when they did the voiceover and said they've been allowed to cut most of their pieces, I thought that was funny. I think what the production team probably told them is, cut almost everything, but we want to watch you cut a couple pieces so we can kind of do a little bit of filming of that.
We want to watch you cut out a pocket.
Yeah.
Do not cut out the pockets. We want to watch this. You're not allowed to cut out a pocket.
Because I think you're right. I've just also cut, I've not made it yet, but I've just cut a suit jacket which has got not a huge amount of pieces for a suit jacket. It's quite a simple one, but it's still a lot of pieces. And to do the cutting and sewing in that time would be really Smoking jackets, it's a bit of a funny thing. It feels very old-fashioned. Is it something you would wear?
I really want one. I really want a smoking jacket. I just think they look so cool. And I have been looking at since... It's always been something that I wanted to make, but since this episode, I have now been looking at smoking jacket patterns just because I think they look so cool. Like, I mean, there's some amazing venues in Brighton that do like burlesque shows and stuff. And I was like, oh, that would look so cool dressed up, like velvet smoking jacket, smart trousers, turn up to like a burlesque show in Brighton, look the part. Like, it's now on my list.
Yeah, I like the idea of them. I don't have anywhere that I go where one would be appropriate.
Just wearing it around the house and feeling fancy.
I guess I could just saunter around the house in my in my smoking jacket. Maybe I'll wait till you've made yours, see how that pattern turns out, and then I'll make one.
See, this is going to sound really, really mean, but I have now just got this image of you. Do you remember the... it was a while ago, and I can't remember what I saw it on, but they had like the smoking pipes, but they blew bubbles instead. I have now just got this mental image of you in a smoking jacket with a glass of red wine in one hand and a pipe just blowing bubbles in the other hand. I'm really sorry. That sounds really, really mean, but I've just got this amazing image of you just like Alex walking in and there's you just like stood at the fireplace just with blowing bubbles in one hand and like a glass of red wine in the other. Please, can you do this for me?
I mean, you're not a million miles away from what normally happens. I don't normally have the smoking jacket. And if you replace the red wine with maybe Cava or Prosecco, and, you know, I'm a demon for blowing bubbles from my bubble pipe. So I'm constantly there.
Oh, I really want to see a photo of this. I'll even send the alcohol.
We'll get something arranged.
Cool, amazing.
Right, let's start talking about the smoking jackets. So let's start with Asma, who had produced a purple velvet jacket with a black jacquard. It had kind of a swirly pattern, shawl collar with a twist piping going along the edges of both the collar, and she had some on the pockets as well. She had patch pockets on there. There was a lot of work in this. It was ever so slightly too small on the shoulder, but I have to say that I don't think that was Asma's issue, to be honest. I think the guy, the model that she had, was a very gym buff guy, and he had massive shoulders. Now, they would have been given the model's measurements before because they had to cut the pieces. So they probably would have been given a chest measurement and maybe hips or waist. I don't think they would have been maybe given like a measurement for his shoulders.
Yeah, no, I didn't, you know what? I've not even thought about that until now. I imagine they might have just been given like the basics. But despite it being a little bit tight across the shoulders, that jacket was beautiful.
It was an incredibly well sewn, beautiful jacket. The purple wasn't my personal cup of tea. I'm not as opposed to purple as much as Patrick apparently is, but I just didn't love that colour. But the actual jacket itself was amazing. It looked like it could be bought. And yeah, and I think the fit issues weren't Asma's fault. I think they were an issue with just having a bodybuilder of a model, to be honest.
Yeah. No, I don't dislike the colour purple, but it's definitely not a colour that I tend to wear. And yeah, it wasn't, I would love to have seen that in maybe like an emerald or a bottle green or a crimson or another really deep, luxurious colour. Because yeah, purple isn't my go-to. It's not something that I myself personally, but that is just from a personal preference. But this jacket was just beautifully sewn. Oh my God, it was stunning as hell.
Yeah, I'd agree with you about the colours. I think you're right. A bottle green or like a red wine, like a really burgundy red would have been beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Right, let's move on. We can't talk about Asma's sewing for the whole podcast. Let's move on to Vicky, who had used two different velvets. One was a fun, deep, dark jungle print, which had loads of animals on. And the other was a red velvet for the shawl collar. Inside the jacket, she had used a, it was kind of like a pink for the lining. The jacket itself did look a little snug. It did look a little bit small.
It did look a little bit tight. And then obviously while it was buttoned, it was pulling, then it was rising up. But I really loved her fabric choice. I love the fact that she went for a printed fabric. I probably would have preferred to have the collar in a black satin. Just because sometimes I feel like prints look really, really nice when they're framed in a black material, black piping. But it was a very, very beautiful jacket. It was just a shame about the fit. It was stunning, though. I loved this.
Yeah, I thought this was beautiful. If I was going to wear a smoking jacket, there was two here that I would wear, and Vicky's was one of them. I thought it was great. And it looked like the kind of thing that I would also see on a catwalk as well. So it kind of picked that fashion box for me. I am totally in agreement with you that the collar, I think, would have looked nicer. I didn't mind the red. I thought the red was fine. But I think that a black satin, you're right, would have absolutely looked just beautiful with that print.
And can I just say, her button choice was beautiful. I love the buttons on that jacket.
I didn't spot the buttons. What were the buttons like?
From what it looked like on mine, it looked like a black button with like gold around the edge of it. I may be wrong. It may be my screen, as we have discovered after the whole fauve pink red muumuu debate. Sometimes my screens do not show me the colours as they actually are. But they just looked really luxurious.
Oh, I love a fancy button on something.
I do love a fancy button.
Oh, I was in Hobbycraft. Other shops are available the other day. And I was just stood for about 15 minutes just staring at the buttons. There were some really fun buttons.
See, this is why you need to come down to Brighton, mate. Because there is a shop in Brighton and I've been going to them quite a lot. And I only discovered the other day that they have got a set of drawers in their shop, which is just filled with loose buttons, and they're all fancy as hell.
Ooh, buttons. So,
yeah, you need to come down. I'll take you shopping.
Okay, we'll go button shopping.
Amazing.
Right, moving on from buttons. Next up, we had Tony, who had also used purple. This time, he'd used a purple cord, and then he had a black velvet shawl collar. He had used a jazzy jungle print lining and he had put in jet pockets, which I've looked at some vintage patterns from the 1950s and 60s of smoking jackets, and you get a mixture. A lot of them do have jet pockets. I did find quite a few with patch pockets as well, though. So, but a jet pocket is a tricky thing to do under a time pressure. And also, Cord can be a real bugger to sew with.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he was brave doing Jet Pockets. And unfortunately, they did gape. But luckily, he had used the purple cord for his pocket bag. So although you could look through into the pocket and you could see the pocket bag, at least it was the same as the outer on the jacket. So it wasn't as noticeable from a distance.
He deserves praise for going for a challenging pocket. Like, that was very, very brave, especially with the time constraint. So yeah, he did really well. And I love the fact that he had the jet pockets going in the other direction. So the cord was going from top to bottom, but the jet pockets, the cord was going left to right. So I love the fact that he thought about that little feature of trying to make them stand out, but not massively stand out. I love the color combo. Again, purple's not normally my go-to color. The only bit, now this is Fashion Week and fashion icons, the only bit I didn't quite get was the fact that it was inspired by Willy Wonka. And don't get me wrong, Willy Wonka's an iconic character. I don't automatically think fashion icon. I mean, each their own, everyone is inspired by different things. But it was one of those when I was watching it and he said, oh, it's inspired by Willy Wonka. I went, I'm sorry, what? Like, of all the people in the world you could have based this jacket on, you picked Willy Wonka. Fair enough. I mean, it gave me Cadbury's vibes. It did give me Cadbury's chocolate bar vibes. But yeah, it was one of those moments where I go, I'm sorry, I need to rewatch that because I'm not quite sure I heard what you said properly. And then when I rewatched it, I went, oh, no, he did say Willy Wonka. Okay, fair enough. Each their own. I have to say, though, my favourite bit about this whole outfit was the shirt the model was wearing underneath it.
Oh, was that the Pussy Bow shirt?
Yeah, the Pussy Bow shirt was beautiful. And I know that sounds really bad, but I really, really loved that shirt. And it was actually, the shirt was sort of distracting me from his outfit. I was just like, that's really, really nice. And I should be looking at the jacket Tony made, but I am being really distracted by this shirt. But Tony did a good job. Pockets weren't great. It did look a little bit baggy to me, but he did an all right job. He did pretty well. Like, the guy's doing good in this competition.
Yeah, I think it looked really comfy. Like, it looked like one that I could imagine me sitting by a log fire in, like, a, you know, a fancy hotel with my bubble pipe in one hand, a glass of bubbly in the other, and just being quite cozy in it. I did like that aspect of it, but yeah, there was a couple of tiny little issues with it.
Yeah, it's also, I don't know, again, maybe it's just me, but one collar looked a little bit bigger than the other.
Okay, I didn't spot that.
Yeah, I think it may have just been the angle it was filmed at, but yeah, it's the model's left hand side just looked a little bit bigger. And again, I don't know whether that's more of a pressing issue, just the way that everything's kind of sat when it's been on the model. But he did good. He did good. I would have quite liked to have seen this in a different colour.
Yeah, agreed. Right. Now, next up we have Mia, who had used, it was kind of like an ivory and pink sparkle brocade fabric. It was very Mia, the fabric. I loved it. Now, she had changed the collar shape to a scallop shape, which I thought was absolutely amazing. Another genius idea. This was probably the other smoking jacket that I saw that I thought I would love to wear something like that to an event. Like, you know, not that I go to many galas or fancy parties, but I would imagine if you walked into a fancy party wearing that, people would turn and stare. I thought it was really beautiful. It was definitely giving me Harry Styles vibes, Timothy Chalamet. it was a really unique jacket, and I think she'd put thought into that, which was really great, and not just kind of grabbed a pattern from online and be like, oh yeah, I'll do this one and I'll stick to it. She found a pattern and she was like, you know what, this isn't me, I'm gonna make some changes here. It was a shame that it wasn't even on the hems, on the bottom, and that the belt wasn't finished. I think she did it in like 30 seconds at the end. I was also distracted a little bit by the sexy model, but I thought the jacket itself was absolutely stunning. What did you think of Mia's jacket?
I love this, and it gave me Chanel meets Wes Anderson. There was just something really beautiful about it that I just thought, you know what, you've done so incredibly well. And yet it was a shame about the little issues at the bottom. If had that have been perfect on the hem, I think she would have stolen first place in this challenge because it was beautiful. And the fabric was one of those, when I saw it, I was like, oh, it's giving me Nan's sofa vibes. But the overall look when she really pulled it together was just something beautiful. It was just a shame that belt looked like she had hacked it with scissors, and the waist, the bottom hem was wobbly as. But I just really love this. And I love the fact that she went, you know what, I'm not going to do a collar, I'm going to do a scalloped collar, and I'm actually going to sew the scallops in. I'm not even going to take the easy route of trying to find a scalloped lace to add as a trim. I am just going to scallop the collar myself. And oh my God, she did well. Like, that, those scallops were beautiful, well measured out, well pressed out. She did incredibly well.
She really did. Like, I just thought this was absolutely stunning. I was a little surprised that it didn't get Garment of the Week. And I think the couple of little issues, tiny issues that she had with the hem and the belt probably meant that she didn't. But I thought the creativity behind it was so good that, yeah. I thought she could have got Garment of the Week for this.
And the bit I really liked was her inspiration was translated into this garment. The moment I saw it, I was like, yeah, I could see Harry Styles wearing that.
Definitely. I hope someone posts this online and Harry like sends her a message or something.
Yeah, because like that, well, it was just something I could see him wearing. And the moment she said, this is my inspiration, I'm liking a bit of androgyny, I want to do this, I want to play with kind of genders and garments, I was like, yeah, I completely get that. I see it. You've done well. You've told me the story. I've read the story from your garment. Fantastic.
I was annoyed that the model didn't end up wearing the pearls.
I mean, yeah, he could have, but I think with the amount of work she had to do, she probably didn't remember to put the pearls on him.
Right, so lastly, we had Lauren. Lauren. She had used a green chenille. It was kind of like a curtain fabric that had almost like a velvety, it had like a nap to it. It looked quite pretty. I'm not a massive fan of the chenille fabric. I think we had it as curtains when I was a kid, so I'm not like a huge fan of it. It also had a black satin shawl collar. There were things going on with this in construction wise. There were weird kind of pleats in the shoulder seams. The sleeves were inserted really strangely, so they kind of like puffed out and were gathered weirdly, which I don't know if that was intentional or if she was just rushing to get the sleeves in. The pocket was done on the wrong way, so it looked like a different color. Because she didn't do a lining, she had planned on doing bound edges inside the jacket, which when it's done and done correctly and done nicely, it looks really luxury and looks beautiful. But she just completely ran out of time, and so it looked like there was no binding down. So inside there, I think there were raw edges, and it was a bit of a mess. Whereas everybody else had lined their jacket, so you can kind of hide the mess by putting the lining. But I think Lauren just had run out of energy at this point and just wanted to get to the end point, and there were a lot of issues.
It, when they showed you the little picture of what the garment was supposed to look like, this was the one that I was like, this is going to be my favourite. Again, I'm not a massive fan on chenille. It's a bit too upholstery for my liking. But I thought, you know what? If anyone is going to take this curtain fabric and make it look amazing, it's going to be Lauren. And it, there was just so many little issues. It really broke my heart, because out of everyone's, I think hers was going to be the one that was like, I could see myself rocking that. I would happily buy a garment like this. And yeah, it was just really sad, and actually made me quite, it made me tear up a little bit, because I just thought, you, she's just got this amazing drive and passion, and it just, this was not her challenge at all. It could have been her challenge. It just wasn't her day.
Yeah, I think Lauren was having an absolute nightmare of a day, and this jacket was just not happening. Oof, I don't really have any more notes for...
No, and to be honest, I can already feel myself welling up a little bit, because I really liked Lauren.
That brings us on to two last points, which was Garment of the Week and Who Went Home. So, unfortunately, we had to say goodbye to Lauren, and it was a very sad goodbye. I noticed that Sarah Pascoe also kind of gets a bit choked up, and so whenever she says the person's going, she almost whispers it, because she can't quite get it out.
Yeah.
And when she said Lauren's name, I had to kind of, I knew it was coming, but I had to kind of be like, what, who, what? It was so quiet.
It's, yeah, I think, like, when you spend this amount of time in such close proximity with people, it's hard not to get attached to people. And it's always quite hard being the one that has to deliver the bad news. And I do feel bad for, like, the presenters, because the judges get to announce Garment of the Week. So they get to tell someone who did really, really well this week and how much they loved it. And then it's like, right, Sarah, you go deliver the bad news.
Yeah.
I really feel for the presenters sometimes, because I'm just like, you've got the brunt of all the rubbish that the judges don't want to have to deal with.
It's not the nicest job. And also, the judges have made the decision who's going home, but then they're not the ones saying it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's sort of like, right, we've made the decision, right, you go tell them. We don't want to have to face the brunt of our decisions. You go deal with it.
It was really sad. And I'm so pleased that Lauren got as far as she did and created some amazing things. And she really spoke about how proud she was that she was kind of a self-taught sewer, and she's gone on national TV and she's basically, sewing bee is like the Olympics of sewing, and she's gone on, she's had, I don't even know how many challenges she's done, a lot of really difficult challenges, being filmed whilst you're sewing and doing things that you might have never done before, techniques that you might never even heard of. So I think Lauren is right to be incredibly proud of herself for
definitely one self-taught sewer to another. It is really, really inspiring to see people that have just decided to pick up a new skill and attempt to master it. And I'm really gutted she's gone. I'm really, like, I really could have seen her in the final doing something amazing, and I am heartbroken that she's not there now.
Yeah, it was a very sad farewell to Lauren, and some amazing stuff that she had sewn while she was on the Bee. And the garment of the week was Asma's, which we've already talked about a lot. Impeccably sewn, like professionally, it looked like something you could buy at a high-end Savile Row, you know, tailors. Beautiful.
It was stunning. Absolutely stunning work. Like, she just does an amazing job.
So, next week we have Utilitarian Week, and they are making a trench coat, I think, and then doing something with home cleaning goods.
Oh, God. That's already given me anxiety. Trench coat, I'm really looking forward to seeing what everyone does, because I would quite like to make myself a trench coat. But yeah, the cleaning products one, I'm just like, oh God, no, what would I do?
Yeah, I think it's going to be an interesting week. I don't remember them doing a utilitarian week before.
No, I don't. And this could be interesting. So we've got the trench coat, boiler suit, and something with cleaning products.
Yeah. So it's going to be an interesting week.
It really is. It really, really is.
Right then, let's wrap this up. So that was Fashion Icons Week. Thanks for listening. Bye from me.
And a bye from me.
Bye.
Bye.